A judge scolds the lead attorney representing the Missoula man accused of killing a German exchange student. Good evening, I'm Corin Cates Carney.
And I'm Conrad Scheid, and that's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. Former Vice President Dick Cheney speaks in Billings this evening.
And fireworks are going on sale, but that doesn't mean all Missoulians can use them wherever they'd like. A trial date has been set for the Missoula man accused of killing a German exchange student this past May. Marcus Karma's trial tentatively starts at 8:30 on the morning of January 5th. Karma's accused of shooting and killing 17-year-old German exchange student Darren Didi. Karma says the shooting was in self-defense, as he caught Didi and another exchange student, Robbie Pasmino, of Ecuador, rummaging through his garage. During today's omnibus hearing, Missoula County District Judge Ed McLean reacted to the Missoulian newspaper story explaining how the law firm representing Karma was planning a World Cup viewing party tomorrow at Karas Park. Tomorrow's soccer match is between United States and Germany. McLean advised Karma's lead attorney, Paul Ryan, to rethink that event.
Number one, if you're going to be playing to the public, do not expect the court to seriously consider any motions for change of venue in the event you find out that you're not happy with our jury veneer. Secondly, I don't want any playing to the public. We've got serious business at hand, and it's not the time to run a public relations campaign. So knock it off. Understood?
Yes, sir.
Ryan confirms the World Cup viewing party is now canceled.
I can understand how people potentially would view it that way. If you saw how it progressed throughout the week, it was more about the excitement of the USA soccer. But certainly if we've offended anybody or created any distress, we apologize for that. And again, that really wasn't our intention. And we'll cancel the event and make sure that this isn't an issue.
Karma's attorney Brian Smith also asked McLean for access to Didi's cell phone. Missoula Deputy County Attorney Andrew Paul said prosecutors did not hand over the phone because they didn't have probable cause to conduct an analysis of the device. Smith maintained the information on Didi's phone is important.
You're critical, too, already one phone has left the country, as well as one witness. And this is the last phone we have left of this party that was breaking into garages. We think there might be some highly relevant information on that. We need to look at it.
Mr. Paul, if you're not going to examine the phone, I don't know who would have standing to object to you having the phone analyzed. So you either have it analyzed or turn it over to the defense.
Yes, sir.
The trial's January 5th start date could still possibly change, depending on courtroom availability and scheduling issues.
In other news from around the state, a 53-year-old Ronan man has denied charges that he shot and killed his younger brother. The Missoulian reports Harry Lizeau pleaded not guilty today to deliberate homicide during a hearing in district court in Polson. Lizeau was charged with shooting 51-year-old Terry Lizeau in the head with a rifle. Prosecutors alleged Terry Lizeau had gone to Harry's house to confront him about work Harry was supposed to be doing on his pickup truck and how a Social Security payment was spent. Another brother reported the shooting. Lizeau fled and was arrested at his home 3 days later. District Judge James Manley has set a September 29th trial date.
A judge has ruled that a former Gallatin County deputy can be tried on a charge of mistreating a prisoner, but the state cannot present video of him grabbing the teenager by the throat and pushing her against the wall, because investigators did not preserve all of the video pertinent to the case. Former Deputy Thomas Madsen had asked that the charge be dismissed. District Judge Holly Brown denied that motion on Tuesday, but said investigators were negligent because they only preserved a copy of a few minutes of video taken while the girl was in an interview room in February 2011. Brown said the video cannot be mentioned at Madsen's trial, which is scheduled to start on July 17th. The state is reviewing whether to appeal Brown's ruling.
Four Montana attorneys have applied to replace Jim Shea as the state workers' compensation judge after Shea's recent appointment to the state Supreme Court. Lee Newspapers of Montana reports the applicants include Dean Blackaby of Helena, who has been a workers' compensation claims attorney and previously was in private practice specializing in workers' compensation law. The other applicants are Great Falls attorney Bill Bronson and Kalispell attorneys Kaylin Lee and David Sandler. The State Judicial Nomination Commission is taking public comment on the applicants through July 23rd. The commission will forward the names of at least three nominees to Governor Steve Bullock, who must appoint the new judge by September 16th. The appointee must be confirmed by the Montana Senate and would serve the remainder of Shea's term, which expires in September 2017.
A Hamilton man who was arrested late last year after responding to an online ad offering sex to the 12-year-old girl is in Missoula, is charged now with raping his girlfriend's young daughter in Helena. 28-year-old Justin Gale Walker appeared in justice court in Lewis and County, Clark County, on Monday on two counts of sexual intercourse without consent. The Missoulian reports his bail was set at $100,000. The two girls, ages 7 and 8, said Walker had been coming into their bedrooms and touching them inappropriately. Walker was one of seven people arrested in December after responding to an online ad posted by the Montana Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force that purported that to be from a woman who was a 12-year-old relative available for sex. Court documents say he insisted on speaking to the girl and ended up having a phone conversation with an undercover detective proposing as a 12-year-old girl. Walker was arrested on December 19th when he arrived at a house where the task force was conducting its sting. He was charged with sexual abuse of children and posted a $25,000 bond in January. Court records show Walker was charged in March with violating an order of protection in Hamilton and posted a $28,000 bond in that case. After the Helena arrest, Missoula County prosecutors failed to petition to revoke Walker's release and requested his bail be set at $250,000.
A large truck struck and killed a bicyclist on the frontage road near Bozeman. Police tell the Bozeman Daily Chronicle the man in his 40s was hit by the truck at about 6:30 a.m. this morning just east of the 19th Avenue interchange. Both vehicles were eastbound. Captain Steve Crawford says the collision is still under investigation and no charges have been filed. The name of the bicyclist has not yet been released.
A Billings woman is charged with assault with a weapon after prosecutors say she cut her husband's face with a knife, causing an injury that required surgery. The Billings Gazette reports 52-year-old Sherilyn Downs appeared in justice court yesterday, where Judge David A. Carter set her bail at $5,000. Downs, who also uses the last name Brooks, was arrested Monday night after police responded to a reported assault. Prosecutors allege Downs had been drinking and arguing with her husband. The man said his wife told him she wanted to, quote, cut him up, quote, unquote, and then slashed his face and said she hoped he would die. Downs is scheduled to appear in district court on Friday.
Former Vice President Dick Cheney is to deliver the keynote speech at an energy trade exhibition in Montana tonight. The two-day energy exposition is taking place today and tomorrow at Metro Park in Billings. Organizers say it's the 15th anniversary of an event that was previously held in Wyoming. Cheney will speak at an industry networking dinner. Prior to his two terms as vice president, Cheney served from 1995 to 2000 as chairman and chief executive officer of Halliburton. The Houston-based company is one of the world's largest oil field services companies. Cheney also served as Secretary of Defense and as a six-term U.S. House member from Wyoming.
For the second year, the Missoula City Council and Mayor John Engen are asking police and fire departments to use vigorous enforcement of the fireworks ban Missoula City limits. The City Council is focused on public education of the firework ordinance, resulting in 2,200 complaints from citizens and only one ticket from the police in 2012. In response, the City Council asked law enforcement and then Police Chief Mike Murr to crack down on lighting fireworks in Missoula last year. As a result, law enforcement issued 29 tickets and almost 100 warnings, according to the Missoula County Office of Emergency Services. Missoula County Police Department's public officer, Travis Welsh, says police will be working with firefighters to make a similar approach this year. With Independence Day falling on a Friday, law enforcement will have extra officers available on July 3rd and 4th. An operations plan and handled to handle the holiday weekend.
People tend to consume more alcohol on the weekends, so that may come into play here also. And alcohol does tend to make some people a little harder to deal with. But then also we have to think of, you know, we have to be concerned with citizen safety too if they are consuming alcohol and then igniting fireworks, whether it's illegal or legal. Accidents tend to happen when judgment is impaired and fine motor skills are, you know, lessened.
In a press release issued yesterday, Missoula City Council President Marilyn Muller said, quote, education hasn't worked in the past, so the city has ramped up enforcement, unquote. She said the Missoula receives complaints from Missoulians every July 5th about how fireworks terrify pets and disturb the peace throughout Missoula neighborhoods. The City Council did amend the fireworks ordinance late last year to allow the so-called novelty fireworks in the city, like sparklers and party poppers and other small fireworks. Mahler says the council discussed offering recommendations for people looking for spots to light fireworks outside the city limits, but decided against it.
What if we suggested that everyone go to this place or that place to, you know, just outside the city limits to enjoy lighting fireworks, and our public safety staff, you know, the police and fire, both said that would not be a very safe idea because then you're congregating people in certain places to set those off, and that could potentially be very bad.
Instead of shooting off rockets in the streets, city leaders are prompting Missoulians to attend public firework displays such as after the Osprey baseball game at Civic Stadium on July 3rd and the annual July 4th show at Southgate Mall. Citizens wishing to report violations can call Fireworks Report line 24 hours a day at 258-4850.
And now for tonight's forecast. In Helena, it's 77 degrees. In Butte, it's 67 degrees. In Frenchtown, it's 82 degrees. In Shoto, it's 78 degrees. And in Whitefish, it's 76 degrees. West of the Divide, tonight will be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Lows in the mid-40s to lower 50s. Thursday, rain showers are likely and there's a chance of thunderstorms with heavy rainfall accompanying those. Highs in the mid-60s to lower 70s. In central Montana tonight, we should be mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms are expected through the night, lows 45 to 55. Thursday is mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms, highs 65 to 75. In southwest Montana tonight, look for mostly cloudy skies. Scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely with lows 45 to 50. Thursday is again mostly cloudy with more showers and thunderstorms, highs 60 to 70. And now for the editorial comments of Dina Mansour.
Last week, my family hosted a gathering at our home for friends old and new. I hadn't seen our friend Joe in a while, and he asked how things were at the Mansfield Center. Ironically, on that day, we were welcoming home two Missoula professionals from working with youth in Cambodia and sending off 20 Montana high school students and two teachers for a program also in Cambodia. Things could not be better on a day when we had such tangible expressions of our work to promote global mutual understanding. Just that day, Susan Hay Patrick of United Way and Betsy Mulligan Daig of the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center were returning from our program in Cambodia. Under the auspices of the U.S. Department of State-funded Economic Empowerment Program, Betsy and Susan had traveled to Cambodia to share their work in leadership and conflict resolution. As Betsy noted, "My time there was short, but I will carry these memories all my life. Nice to see so many young people concerned with resolving conflict around the world." In between sampling tarantula and octopus and visiting ancient temples of lost civilizations, Susan and Betsy worked with youth across Cambodia on shared concerns that bridge our two countries. Also on that day, 20 Montana high school students and two teachers were departing for Cambodia. Part of the nationwide American Youth Leadership Program, or AYLP, the group represents a true cross-section of Montana, coming from such communities as White Sulphur Springs, Arleigh, Baker, and Missoula. Funded by the U.S. Department of State and managed by the Mansfield Center, our AYLP is designed to explore the unique environmental challenges Cambodia faces while fostering international dialogue on shared concerns and potential solutions. Since being chosen in December in a highly competitive application process, the group has been studying connections between Montana and Cambodia in natural resources and societal issues, and surprised by the number of commonalities they found. On that day, the group started 30 hours of transit to Cambodia. For some, it was the first time on a plane. For most, it was the first time out of the country. While I don't have the good fortune to travel with them, I've been eagerly following their daily blog. Here are some of the highlights so far. Day 2. We started the day with our normal Khmer lesson. Participants are practicing their new language skills everywhere they go. The students explored the market in small groups with their Cambodian friends, who showed them some of their favorite snacks, which involved crickets. There was a lot of cricket eating going on today. Someone described them as better than barbecue potato chips. Day 3. Today we went to a monastery where we were joined by our Cambodian high school partners and monks to plant trees. The monastery is attempting to reforest this area, as Cambodia has one of the highest rates of deforestation in the world. While the monastery was breathtaking, The really amazing part was to see the dedication of the American and Cambodian students working together to plant trees in the hot sun. The group will continue their way through Cambodia, hiking forests, boating rivers, exploring the ocean, and biking through the Angkor Wat Temple complex. They'll be sharing thoughts on critical issues like energy, climate change, and urbanization. They'll be learning about religious diversity as they break the Ramadan sunrise to sunset fast with the Muslim Cham community. Each participant will also stay with three different host families for a deeper look at life in Cambodia. The program is exciting, but it's no vacation. Participants commit to regular readings and webinars over the 5 months prior to their international departure. Being in Cambodia for nearly a month, they also have to exercise skills in cultural adaptation, not only in a very different culture with challenging language, food, and weather, but also with one another. Peers met largely through email before meeting to go to Cambodia. Upon their return home, each will be armed with an outline for a community service project to implement based on lessons learned over the experience. In Mike Mansfield's name, we are motivated to host this program to empower young people as positive forces in our communities and engage them in international affairs and public policy, with a focus on the natural resource issues that are so germane to our state. AYLP supports Montana youth and educators in global understanding, leadership and responsible citizenship, and better succeeding in the global economy. As a result of our success with AYLP, we are honored to announce that the State Department has awarded us a second AYLP grant, this time for Thailand, and with a focus on food security. This fall, we'll be getting the word out statewide to recruit another 20 students and two teachers. We will specifically include an outreach component for participants with disabilities, as well as those from Native American communities, as each group is underserved in terms of international engagement opportunities. For more information on our programs or to follow the AYLP group on their adventures, see us on the web at www.umt.edu/Mansfield. On behalf of the Maureen and Mike Mansfield Center, I'm Dina Mansour.
Dina Mansour is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Corin Cates Carney.
And I'm Conrad Scheid. Thanks for listening, and please join Editor O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News.